Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
We go to Athens for the latest on your Georgia Bulldogs. This is Bulldog Roundtable, exclusively on The Fan. Live from the Georgia's own credit union studios at the Buttsmere Building in Athens.
25-20, fourth sideline, 15-10, 5, get in there, touchdown!
This morning, The Fan staff brings you the latest on the Dogs.
As the only station in Atlanta that's live in Athens all year long.
Yes, indeed! That was too easy!
Bulldog Roundtable is proudly presented by Georgia's Own Credit Union. Find out how you can become one of Georgia's Own, georgiasown.org.
And that's going to be the ballgame. Georgia will win this ballgame.
Now, live from the Georgia's Own Credit Union studios in the Buttsmere Building in Athens, it's Chuck Dowdle on the Bulldog Roundtable.
Good Thursday morning to all of you in the Bulldog Nation. Welcome to the Bulldog Roundtable, coming to you live from the heartbeat of Dog Nation, which is, of course, the Georgia's Own Credit Union studio. And what a great day this is, not because it's April 1st and April Fool's Day and all of that, which, by the way, just be on your P's and Q's just in case, but because it's the opening day of the Major League Baseball season, and never has there been a more important time to have the 680 The Fan app than right now. This is going to be a great year for the Braves. And how cool was that this morning, hearing Finneran get the skipper himself, giving Brian Snitker, getting him to give us the lineup for opening day. I thought that was pretty cool.
I mean, that's just the way we roll here.
Yeah, that is the way we roll here, no doubt about it. And that was terrific. But you want that 680 The Fan app. Not only can you catch up on past episodes of Bulldog Roundtable and all the other great content here on 680 The Fan, but you want to have it for this Braves season for sure, no doubt about that. And, of course, we also have the very best coverage of Georgia spring football leading up to G-Day, which is April 17th, now just over 2 weeks away. And let's get right to that with our good friend Roddy Nabalsi. He is the publisher of UGASports.com. And Roddy, unfortunately, or fortunately for you, you broke the news, but unfortunately for Dog fans, another injury at that wide receiver position, Jermaine Burton going down this week. But I guess there's a silver lining there. It won't be for long.
That's true. Jermaine Burton was carted off exactly a week after George Pickens went down. He was carted off the field of practice, and that was more of a situation where they were just being incredibly careful. They were incredibly cautious. They knew that he had a knee issue, and, you know, you just once bitten, twice shy sort of thing, so they carted him off, and then we were able to report that, yes, he's out of practice, but it's just a hyperextension. When I say just an hyperextension, as if it's not a big deal, that really hurts. You know, he's in a lot of pain. It won't require surgery. He'll be out 2 to 4 weeks. So basically he's out for the rest of spring, but should be completely fine by the time a month from now. He'll probably be out there doing the going through the same drills, and they'll bring it back slowly. But Jermaine Burton, who really came on at the end of last year, if you remember how big a year Dominic Blaylock had as a freshman, Jermaine Burton was kind of having that same year. So Dominic Blaylock should be back. Marcus Rosenczak Saint should be back. Jermaine Burton will be healthy. Arian Smith, who started the season a little banged up last year, but he was fine towards the end. You know, this absolute track speedster. He'll be healthy. So Georgia should have everybody back except George Pickens, and that's a big exception. But at least for the folks who were just really starting to get worried yesterday about the wide receiver room, you don't have to worry that much.
Yeah, there's a lot of depth there this year, which has not been the case in recent seasons to have that much depth in that wide receiver room. But to have it this year, boy, it looks like it's darn lucky we've got it. So very good there. Let me ask you about you mentioned Arian Smith. Let me ask you about that young man. He had some flashes last year towards the end of the season as he got healthy, when it looked like if he wasn't careful, he could outrun JT's arm.
And that is a problem. I mean, it's a good problem to have, because basically if you take that, you know, 3-5-7-step drop and just hurl as hard as you can, there's a guy who's going to be able to run underneath it. you know, and it's tough if you're a safety, you know, you're a cornerback with him, and he's basically on that, you know, on the route tree, he's on that go route, you know, he's on that nine, and he just takes off. You have to go with him, and you have to go with him step for step, and the ball's up, you know, a few seconds, I mean, a half second later after the drop. And this is a guy who can outrun it. And there were a couple times, even though he had, I think it was like a 30 and 50 yard, his two first catches, one went for 30, one went for 50. One was for a touchdown, one was almost for a touchdown, that he had to slow down a little bit.
Yeah, he had to wait for it.
Yeah. So this is a guy that you're like, hey, JT, don't worry about trying to hit me in stride. Just hurl it. Just hum it. Toss it out there. I'll go get it. And remember, this is a guy who was on the 17 and under Pan Am World track team for the United States with Matt Bowling. And he's back to running track with Georgia. I don't know if a lot of people know that, but, you know, on his off days, he's over there running track. So this is a guy who has world-class speed. I'm not saying that as hyperbole. I'm saying that as actuality. You got a world-class track guy who can catch football. So, JT, don't worry about trying to hit me in stride. You just throw it, I'll go get it.
Yeah, you know, Roddy, I got to tell you, when one of those that he shocked us with his speed last year when we all saw him in action for the first time and saw what he really had in the tank. And I went over to a member of the staff and I said, you know, just how fast is this guy? And they were telling me that on the GPS that they use, you know, at practice, that he was running in excess of 22 miles an hour. I thought, you know, in my neighborhood, that's speeding.
Oh, absolutely. You know? And here's the crazy thing. He's hit 23 and 24, apparently, in those GPS monitors. So has Kelee Ringo, the cornerback that Georgia fans have not seen yet.
Wow.
The number two overall cornerback in the nation when he came out. He was only behind Elias Ricks of LSU in the rankings. You know, this is a top, you know, top 30 guy. He is also the fast. Now, and you got to understand, Arian Smith, he's a small guy. He's not huge. But Kelee Ringo is a big boy. This is a big cornerback. This is a, you know, he's one of the, if you had to draw him up in a lab, you know, you say, well, I want a guy that's 6'2 and a half, 6'3, with crazy speed, long arms, swivel hips, you know, can turn on a dime. That's what you have in Kelee Ringo. And I know we're all concerned for, you know, all the Georgia fans are concerned about the, what's Georgia going to do at cornerback. This is why I'm really excited about April 17th, G-Day. This will be the first time we really get to see what Kelee Ringo can do.
Roddy, let me ask you, what are you hearing? What are you hearing from your sources within the team about how it's going for him this spring?
I've heard great things about him this spring. What I'm not hearing is a lot about the other side. So it's not to say that, you know, Jalen Kimber or, you know, Nylon Green, you know, none of those guys have Amir Speed have locked down that other side. I think they're really just giving everybody a shot, but I'm not hearing that people are coming in and replacing Kelee Ringo in the rotation. I'm not saying that he's locked one down, but that is the absolute expectation. Is he has one side locked down, and they have to find another cornerback. They're not going to worry so much about the star position, you know, the one that sometimes, you know, thought of as that fifth defensive back, because right now the plan is to have Adam Anderson playing the star. So, but they still have to find two cornerbacks. Kelee Ringo's kind of locked down one spot, or is expected to have locked down one spot, and the other one is really up for grabs.
Is it fair to say that in the, you know, brief moments that we get an opportunity to chat with the head coach and get his read on things, there seems to be a certain air of, I don't want to say, you know, absolute confidence that it's perfect, but he doesn't seem overly concerned.
No, it's you bring up a good point, because I've heard this from two other people within the program, and I don't want to use this phrase, but because I don't want people to read too much into it, but it's almost as if Kirby Smart has mellowed a little bit. You know, I'm not saying he's relaxed in it, because that's just an improper term for a Kirby Smart thing, but
that doesn't go together. Kirby Smart and relaxed, just in my mind. I can't marry those.
Right, and I hate it. I'm a journalist. I make my living with coming up with the words, but I can't come up with the actual description for this, because I think what it is, it's year five of a head coach. He has all of his players in. He's just gone through this crazy pandemic. You know, he's been replacing coaches every year, just like all the great coaches do. You know, if you're a Nick Saban, you know, if you're a Dabo Swinney, or if you're a great coach, that means you have a good staff. people are going to come after your coaches. He's been through this multiple times. He knows he has a system for that. He has a system for recruiting. He has a system for development. He has a system for evaluations. He has a system for everything. And I think he's finally – I don't think he feels like he has to continue building anymore. Now it's implementation. And I think that's taken a little bit off of his plate. So I don't want to say it, but it feels like maybe he has meld a little bit. He has confidence. When he looks out across that field, and we had Coach Donna who went by practice the other day just to see Kirby, and he's talking about this is a really fast team. And I think Kirby's finally getting that. Like you said, he's not so much worried about it because he knows I don't have the answers yet, but I have the options. And I think that takes a lot of anxiety off of the head coach's plate when it's like, I don't know who it's going to be, but I know I have enough people.
But yeah, you got enough there. You know, and I was telling one of your colleagues the other day, you know, my conversations with Kirby, you know, when we're talking, when the football conversations that I have with him, when we sit down to talk football, usually the first question is from Kirby, and it's always the same. It's, how long will this take? You know, because he's already on to whatever's next in his mind, you know, which is, you know, the reason that he has been so highly successful at the University of Georgia. But a lot of fun to be around. There's no doubt about that. Talking with Roddy Nabalsi, he's the publisher of UGASports.com. And Roddy, in the few minutes we have remaining here, let me just get your overall impression of this team. Obviously, you know, when you open against a Clemson, you know, well, that'll have the eyes of college football nation, you know, watching to start the college football season here this year. And I'm curious as to, you know, we always hear that a game like that has the players' attention during spring and during the lead up to the actual fall, what we call fall practice. Do you sense that?
No, every game, every season has the players' attention. We say that. I say that. We all believe it. It didn't matter if you're starting off with the Sisters of the Poor the first game. These guys lift weights just about every day. They run about every day. They have to get up, you know, 5 a.m., 6 a.m., 7 a.m. for meetings all the time. When you finally – and it's their career. You know, it's their – each game is their audition to make it to the NFL. You know, we're hoping to get enough film to catch the eye of a scout. So it doesn't matter who you're playing. You're going to get excited for it. Is there a little more juice in the tank? Yeah, they're dialed in.
There's a little more juice
in the tank because you're playing Clemson. They understand the buzz. They hear it. They know that you don't have a it's not a warm-up. So, but they are dialed in. And the overall impression of the team that you're asking for, just loaded. I mean, we can have a long argument over the starting five on the offensive line. We can't really do that so much on the defensive side of the line, but in the coming years, with the way Georgia's recruiting, we will be having those discussions. We have to wonder what happened to Nolan Smith last year and where's Clay Webb, a couple of five stars, and why is Adam Anderson on the field, you know, three downs instead of just kind of coming in as a third down specialist. Again, all five stars, we're kind of wondering when they're going to get their breakout time. We've not had rosters loaded like this, and they're all fast. I was listening to this the other day.
Well, we can't wait.
Across the board, they can move. Yep.
Can't wait for G-Day. Roddy, I appreciate your time, my friend. Roddy Nabalsi, publisher of UGASports.com, here with us on the Bulldog Roundtable. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and turn our attention towards Bulldogs that are looking for that draft pick in the NFL at the end of this month. And that we're going to turn to the guy that knows more about this stuff than any guy that you ever want to talk to. And that, of course, is our very own Carlos Medina, front office Lowe's. He's next here on the Bulldog Roundtable.
The only Atlanta station broadcasting live from Athens all year long.
This is Bulldog Roundtable on The Fan. Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. It's Bulldog Roundtable with Chuck Dowdle, live from the Georgia's Own Credit Union Studios in the Butzmere Center in Athens, on the official sports talk station of the Georgia Bulldogs, The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
Well, welcome back, and our thanks once again to the publisher of UGASports.com, Roddy Navolsi, for his time this morning and catching us up on all that's going on at spring practice as we head towards G-Day on April the 17th. But, of course, at the end of the month, the NFL draft, and the guy that knows more about a salary cap, about what teams need, about where they may be looking, about guys they may be looking at, and about specific guys, you know, at various schools around the country. Our very own Carlos Medina, front office Los. You can hear him every afternoon on Chuck and Chernoff right here on 680 The Fan. And Los, appreciate your time. I got to, you make my head spin, buddy, with the way you get into this. But fair to say, is this one of these drafts where the dogs may not be at the very top of the draft, but there'll be Georgia Bulldogs sprinkled throughout it?
That's extremely fair, Chuck, and thank you for the time. If we had had a traditional combine, Georgia would have been well represented from the first round all the way through the seventh round. They were tied with Alabama for the most amount of combine invites, along with Ohio State. So we're talking about, you know, obviously three of the top programs in all the country consistently now turning out that level of talent. When we had Kirby Smart come in 2016 and he talked about improving areas of this team, it's now showing up every single NFL draft on a regular basis, not just with the skill position players, but now guys on the offensive defensive lines.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like Georgia's having guys, I mean, that either drafted, you know, near the bottom or at the very end, make rosters, or guys signing as free agents and making rosters.
Yeah, that has been one of the things that we've seen. We've seen guys that even though they've gone undrafted, still make rosters. I remember last year we brought up, you know, Hot Rod, Rodrigo Blankenship, and whether or not he was going to get drafted. And I had brought up, we're only talking about right around 300 players to get drafted, but you still have an opportunity to make a team and play in the league for a long time. And Hot Rod is going to play 10 years with the Colts. That's just kind of the nature of it. And so there are guys at the top of the draft. Aziz Ojulari, in my opinion, is going to be a first-round pick. But then we're going to see some guys who are going to run all through this thing, the Ben Clevelands of the world. We'll see where Richard LeCount ends up. But all these guys are going to have an opportunity to have a long NFL career.
And let's talk about some of the guys that that you think will go in some of those middle rounds. Georgia, obviously, famously or infamously for dog fans, suffered some attrition in that defensive secondary. So there are a lot of guys bidding for jobs in the NFL that left that Georgia secondary from a year ago. And we start talking about guys like Tyson Campbell and Eric Stokes. You know, what do you see of them that NFL scouts may like?
First and foremost, Chuck, it's size. Tyson Campbell, for a lot of us who cover Georgia football, who watch Georgia football, I think a lot of us looked at Eric Stokes as being the better of the two corners. But things change in terms of NFL evaluations where Tyson Campbell's about a 6'2 cornerback. He's freaky long. He's freaky fast. And that's going to make him probably a top 50 pick in this draft. But I'm also fascinated by this. Over the last 2 years, there's been a partnership in the NFL with Amazon. They now have this stat called Next Gen Stats, where they calculate how fast guys are running, how long the ball is in the air. They do advertisements on it on a regular basis. And one of the things they now do is they take the production that college athletes have, they mix it with basically where they are in terms of their athleticism, what they're testing at, and then what they feel their pro production is going to be. Eric Stokes, because of what he tested at, is rated as a 96. Now, that would basically be a top 10 pick. So I'm fascinated to see where a guy that we've seen him produce at the SEC level and obviously test off the charts, where somebody ends up drafting a guy like Eric Stokes, because there's no problem with his tape and there's no problem with his testing.
When you get into these, all these numbers, I don't know how to put this, but I remember Jerry Glanville, when he was coaching the Falcons, used to tell me all the time, you know, nah, I don't need to look at all those numbers and stuff. Just put the film on. Let me watch a guy play football. Then I can tell you if he can play. You know how much of that now weighs into decision making on draft day?
Well, I'll tell you, Chuck, for me, the tape is everything. Yeah, combine workouts are fine. Pro days are fine. But I think ultimately the tape ends up telling you everything you need to know about a player. I'm not really even concerned about production. I just want to see what he does on a regular Saturday afternoon. I'll go for example. There are guys that have tested, like Kyle Pitts, a tight end out of Florida.
Yes.
But Kyle Pitts also has 10 games worth of tape where you say, that's a huge factor on the field. That's one of the things I look at. Like a guy like Ben Cleveland, I've got 2.5 years of road grading, just taking big guys and moving them around. That's the sort of tape that just solidifies him, in my opinion, as a top probably 50 pick in this draft.
All right, and then what about a guy like Richard LeCount, who had the injury situation for Georgia this past year? He's known not only for what he does on the field, but for his leadership ability, in the locker room.
The leadership ability is one thing. Also, he's always in the right place at the right time. To me, that screams smart football player. Guys like him and Malik Herring, I think a lot of them are going to be draft and stash players. Unfortunately, Malik Herring, suffered the ACL injury over at the Senior Bowl. So this year is going to be kind of a wait and see approach. We'll see if somebody uses a late round draft pick and then basically allows him kind of a redshirt year to get healthy. I think a lot of it's going to be the same thing with Richard LeCount. He didn't test exactly the way that you would hope that he would test for a player that's been a factor and have been a really good player in the SEC. A 4.6 40 time, I'd love to see that closer to 4.5, 4.4, but we'll see what happens. I think that's going to be one of those guys that you're going to bring him in. Maybe it's a late-round draft choice. Maybe it's a priority free agent. Let the kid heal and then see what you get moving forward.
A couple other guys I want to ask you about. A guy that played for Georgia last year as a graduate transfer from Florida State at that tight end position. Didn't catch a whole lot of balls because he wasn't targeted all that often. But when he did, I mean, he certainly passed the eyeball test. And that's Trey McKitty. And we're not hearing much about him.
What I will tell you is this. There's Gil Brandt, who was the architect of the 1970s and early 80s Dallas Cowboys, built several Super Bowl championship teams. He's very high on Trey McKitty. And what it got me to do was go back and look at the tape and realize the benefit of going to Georgia for that last year is he played in a pro-style attack, and he was a quality blocker. You could watch him, obviously get out in space and be a pass catcher, even though he wasn't targeted that many times. But he actually showed you a lot of balance. And so you talk about a guy that really improved his draft stock with that last year that he had moving away from Florida State. That was Trey McKitty getting a chance to play for Georgia and being able to be that guy who could block at the point but also be a factor in the passing game. That really helped that kid.
All right, and then the other guy I've got to ask you about, he was not a Georgia Bulldog last year, but he was for 1 year, one very famous year because of, his potential and what he represented to so many Georgia fans, and that's Justin Fields. Went on to star at Ohio State, left Georgia, but he had his pro day yesterday. Can you give me a read on how he did?
A rocket arm, everything that shows up on tape. For anybody who talks about the decision-making process with Justin Fields, I think we all have to understand, Justin Fields, when he showed up in Athens, had only really been playing quarterback for about 2.5 years, and so it was going to take more time for him to get used to the reads and basically being able to recognize some of the situations that were in front of him. Last year, the biggest thing and the most important thing with Ohio State playing football, Justin Fields was no longer locking on to the first target. He was working through his progressions. He was going from the right side of the field to the left side of the field. That's where I think that he went from a guy who was a pretty good athlete to now a guy that for me is going to be a top 10 guy in this draft.
Give me this for so long we've been hearing that the top four picks could all be quarterbacks. There have been some trading, but what do you think will be those top four picks? I mean, and do you think it'll all be quarterbacks?
I don't think it'll all be quarterbacks. I think a lot of it changes when what you talk about the Atlanta Falcons doing. Trevor Lawrence, obviously number one at the top. Zach Wilson, who I can make the argument, his tape looks like a young Aaron Rodgers without the huge arm, but he makes those type of plays. I believe that he's going to be the number two guy. At number three, I don't know if I buy the Mac Jones hype. I still think that San Francisco is going to get a quarterback. You don't trade up that high in the draft and give away what you did to not come away with a quarterback. But if you're Atlanta hey, I'd love to see them do a Justin Fields or anything else like that. If not, go get Kyle Pitts. He's probably the second best player in this draft behind Trevor Lawrence.
Well, it's going to be interesting to watch, isn't it? This is going to be one of the more intriguing drafts I think we've seen in quite some time, just because I think there could be some movement in that near the top of the draft, maybe as late as draft day.
Well, movement within the draft, Chuck, but also consider this. With the NFL having scored more points than ever in its history last season, this is a wildly offensive league. I think we're going to end up with probably 8 or 9 of the top 10 picks being all offensive players.
And you talk about those points being scored and about the emphasis on the quarterbacks and throwing the football. That really kind of puts more of a value on a guy like Azeez Ojulari.
If you can get the quarterback on the ground, you're valuable. I will fight anybody who says that there's a better edge player as far as causing quarterbacks to be uncomfortable in this draft. I think Azeez Ojulari is by far the number one edge player in this draft.
Wow. Carlos, I can't thank you. This is going to be so much fun. And listening to you between now listening to you all the time is fun, but listening to you coming up here over these next few weeks leading into this draft, this is going to be must be listening to anybody that's an NFL fan. So front office, Los, appreciate your time, my friend.
Chuck, always appreciate it. Take care, my friend.
Okay. Carlos Medina, our very own front office Lowe's here with us on the Bulldog Roundtable, and just great to get his perspective on the upcoming draft and dogs in the mix, and there are a lot of them. We're going to take a break. We'll come back, and we'll wrap it up.
This is the official sports talk station of the Dogs.
It's Bulldog Roundtable on The Fan.
This is Georgia head coach Kirby Smart, and you're listening to the Bulldog Roundtable on the official sports talk station of the Georgia Bulldogs, 680 The Fan on FM at 93.7. Go Dogs!
Thank you so much, Coach, and welcome back to the Bulldog Roundtable. Our thanks once again to Carlos Medina, front office Lowe's, for being with us here today on the Bulldog Roundtable, as well as Roddy Nabolsi. To all of you in the Bulldog Nation, listen, what a great day today is. This is opening day. Do not forget the very best coverage of the Atlanta Braves anywhere right here on 680 The Fan. And, of course, opening day this afternoon against those Philadelphia Phillies. We got to do that for sure. Stay tuned for Home Team in Hamilton. They're up next here on 680 The Fan. Let's have a great Bulldog Day, everybody, and go Braves!
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right. You can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.